Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of August, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly firmer in here today, mildly so. India and the Philippines were among the highlights. Japan resisted this trend to the upside due to the strength of the yen, I suspect. The European stock markets encountered some early selling pressure, but then pared that back as Wall Street firmed, and several of them actually ended with gains, including Switzerland, Amsterdam, Germany, France. Those are the winners, and the Americas had a decent day, a bit of seesawing, but closing towards the higher side of the day with modest gains. The best of which was the Nasdaq Composite, up 0.88%. Long-dated government bond prices encountered a little bit of selling pressure. The U.S. 30-year bond future is down 20 ticks as I speak. The U.S. dollar was a little bit firmer in here today, as we saw some profit-taking in the euro and also in sterling, and also in the yen. The dollar hit another new low for the year against the yen. It was down quite close to its all-time historical lows, but then bounced. So we saw a low of 85.33 was the low, 85.33, but it's currently 86.27. That's up almost half a yen. And what else to mention? Gold. Now, gold had a decent day here. It gave up some of its gains. It's currently up $8.20 as I speak. That's put it at $11.94.35. It was up to $12.03 at one point, but it's one of the better days. It looks inconsistent with the ranging, drifting decline that we have seen, and is evidence that gold is indeed picking up some support from that trading that we can see down below the 1050 level. Well, I've gone from the introduction into a more detailed comment, so let me revert back to stock markets here, because that's where the great debate is taking place. And those who are fixated on economic news from Wall Street find themselves with much to worry about, although some of the data today, the statistic du jour was a little bit more favorable, and that helped the market to steady. But the technical action is not that bad. And I don't think that we should be looking to Wall Street for the lead technical action. In terms of its leash effect, it can be a game changer. It can pull everything in its direction. But I think that Wall Street leash effect is actual, and I've written about it for decades, but that can actually diminish. And I think actually is diminishing. It's past its peak in influence, as the U.S. economy is a little less important relative to the rest of the global economy. So we're going on this long journey. So we're further along this long journey from a unipolar to a multipolar world, and that diminishes the U.S. leash effect somewhat. To put it in a more positive note, what it means is that uncoupling is no longer just the holy grail, in other words, unobtainable, but actually occurs. And you've seen a number of the South American markets, which we certainly like. You've seen a number of the Asian emerging markets, which we certainly continue to like, push to new highs for the year. And they held steady when Wall Street had that additional downward move in June. So that's very interesting. And I think that the leaders today are the same markets that led following the October 2008 crash, and they are also the markets in many instances that led during the 2003 to 2007 bull phase. So I think they're important, and I feel that the most likely probability is that markets have a few nervous moments between now and the fourth quarter of the year. So that could be well into October, but that confines or that the downside risk of this is largely confined to sideways activity in terms of an additional sort of ranging consolidation, but that the July lows, I maintain, are important, and I'd have to see those taken out to feel that I needed to readjust the worst case scenario. But I think the odds are good that those July lows will hold for these markets that had been causing much concern and only a little over a month ago. Okay. What else in here? The stronger stock markets are, the more likely it is that long-dated government bond prices get a less bullish reassessment. And I think that the people who have been momentum buying in the bonds and saying, well, they've got good strong patterns, so I can go in and buy, they've been right in and could still be right a little longer in the short term. But it's a dangerous game here because the momentum buying and the buying on recapitalization via the yield curve and the quantitative easing, that's not going to go on forever. And the denouement will be a significant rise in long-dated government bond yields over the next few years as the global economy strengthens. Now, there are a lot of people who feel that the global economy isn't going to strengthen, and so they're content to hold the bonds. But, you know, if you're holding bonds with some of the lowest yields in history, well, I couldn't sleep with that at night, not comfortably, unless I just regard it as a very short-term trade, and I was ready to cut and run the moment progressions of a higher reaction lows in the bond prices or lower reaction highs in the yields were broken. Okay, now on to the precious metal markets. Gold and silver have notably steadied, but I think we're going to see them range bound. They're going to stay range bound here overall. And it's the industrial metals, I think, that are leading the recovery charge. And they were more oversold. And so they're benefiting from short covering as well as so-called risk trade buying. Now, the gains that we've seen in the industrial metals, well, some of them look short term a little bit overextended, but overall, this is very positive technical action. So I think of the downside risk as being a temporary consolidation of gains, but that we saw very important lows a couple of months ago for most of these I think all of these industrial metals, and so that looks like a firm sector to me, and that's not yet fully reflected in the mining share prices, and which I do expect to improve between now and year end, and possibly substantially so. The energy sector is quite firm. Natural gas has seen a little profit taking recently, but is stronger in here today. And crude oil is firm at 82.45. And energy generally, there's interest in the uranium shares once again. And that looks like an interesting sector to me. So we're seeing a lot of interest in these commodity markets. But I've saved the best until last in this commodity market review because we've been talking about these quite regularly, particularly Owen. And wheat is on fire. And I don't mean just in, I'm not making a bad pun regarding the Russian situation. The price has just soared. Wheat is up over 50% in a very short while, and that's done because of damage to the crops, plus inevitably some speculative activity on the back of that. But these moves are powerful, and the other grain and others of the grain and bean complex have seen lesser moves. But they've certainly strengthened in here, and I think they will continue to strengthen over the next few weeks at least. Now, if we get a major move in this grain and bean complex, that will inevitably result in some food inflation, which, and you know, there are a lot of people out there who say inflation is non-existent. Well, you don't get a 50% rise in the price of wheat in a few weeks without that having some sort of knock-on effect. And we're not talking about a top in here yet. So this is pretty explosive in here. And that could be a well, it depends how big the move to the upside is. But in the this is not a crisis yet, but it does show how quickly agricultural commodity fundamentals can change when there are adverse weather conditions. So I think we're going to see further gains. The chart patterns can certainly support it. And that includes the entire grain and bean sector. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Well, except I hadn't said anything about the currencies here. The resources currencies are strong, and the yen has been super strong. The dollar has been weak. Now, the resources currencies have been stronger, strongest of all, but the yen has been too strong relative to the US dollar, and I do think we will see that lead to some sort of intervention fairly soon. And on that note, all the best to all of you.